Let my cry come near before thee. Oh Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me.
Thanks for joining us on The Baptist Bias. I'm your host, Pastor Shelley. It's the final service for the Anti-Israel Conference, and we're going to be starting here not too long. You want to check it out on the Steadfast Baptist Church channel on Rumble. Pastor Aaron Thompson is going to be preaching for us. This morning, we had a record-breaking attendance, 383, to hear my favorite Mexican preacher, Pastor Bruce Mee. How's it going?
I don't want to be here right now. I feel like you're just keeping me here, you're just making me be here, and if you look at my face, I just really hate it here, apparently, you know? Remember when they said that last time?
I'm just using your illegal status against you or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's blackmailing me right now. No, it's great to be here. I'm super happy with the conference, a lot of people, great preaching, and I'm privileged to be able to come here and preach for you guys, and so thank you, Pastor Shelley, for putting this on.
Yeah, you've been blowing up online on social media about this issue for a while now.
Not funny, okay?
Well, your church has been blowing up. Is that fair? I don't know.
There you go.
Your church blows up first, then you blow up, right?
There you go, yeah.
Well, you know, obviously this conference has been a blast. It's been a huge success. We've had a lot of great preaching. I feel like the sermons have been virtually impossible to gainsay. I mean, if anybody came to our sermons with an open mind, I think they're going to be convinced immediately. So I feel like it's, you know, very successful, but I guess my question is, like, what do we do from here, in a sense? And I know, you know, you've been putting a lot of information, a lot of content online. You know, a lot of people at our churches have been pretty riled up about this. There's people, though, that are also listening online. Maybe they don't have a church that is right on this issue. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts, like, you know, what do people do, you know, with this information? Where do we go after this conference?
Well, first and foremost, you know, when it comes to those who aren't necessarily are already a part of our church, I think they need to get plugged into a new IFB church. And I hope that this conference has kind of built an appetite for this type of preaching that is unfiltered, it uses a lot of Bible, it preaches hard against these controversial topics, and I hope it makes them dissatisfied with what they currently have. And realize that not all churches are like that. You don't have to become Catholic. You don't have to become Orthodox. There's literal fundamental Baptist churches that are preaching the truth and are, you know, and are using the Bible, the clear passages, or explaining things. It's expository. It's hard hitting. And so I think, you know, people need to, number one, start tuning into New IFB preaching, you know, by Pastor Anderson, Pastor Thompson, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Oz, you know, Pastor Enrique Reyes, and, you know, start listening to that, but also, you know, start attending some of these churches as well.
Yeah. Well, and again, obviously, there's some other groups that are also against Israel, and we get that. I mean, the Bible says they're contrary to all men. But at the end of the day, when's the last time you've heard a Catholic or an Orthodox priest get up and just rip?
I've never heard that.
On this particular issue, expound Romans chapter 11, and look, these guys aren't even saved. So obviously they're not going to give the spiritual understanding of the Bible.
Right.
So, you know, even if there is other groups out there that are, quote, against Jews, they usually are wrong. They're right for the wrong reasons a lot of times. And so what I like about this conference is that we're proving why we believe what we believe from the Bible.
Right.
And that we're not necessarily saying, hey, you know, we hate these people because of their ethnicity, or really even that we just hate just all ethnic Jews. It's more like we hate the religion of Judaism. And, you know, I'm just channeling the spirit of Elijah, because in Romans chapter 11, their favorite chapter in the Bible, the Zionists, it says about Elias, it says how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. And, you know, I feel like that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to make intercession to God against Zionism, against this fake version of Israel. And we're trying to awaken the true Israel of God, saved Christians, to be less, you know, for Antichrist and more for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's a shame how many churches today, they're going there and they're caring more about Antichrist than what Jesus actually said. It's like they are afraid of what Jesus said, his words, and they want to give lip service to Israel. And, you know, I'm not one of these type of people that thinks like you just have to have a perfect doctrinal church to go to. Like, churches can be off. But man, it would be hard to go to a church that's just like rabidly Zionist, really pushing these kind of agendas. I almost feel like it's a self-destructive ideology at this point. I feel like they're not going to capture the youth. They're not going to bring new people in. It's a very divisive issue. You know, you want to be on the right side of history. And so I like what you said. I think that people need to just figure out a way to get in a new IFB church. And I heard somebody say this. It's like no one's coming to rescue you. In some cases, you just kind of have to find your way into one of these churches.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is this is that, you know, a lot of these churches that even they may have the right position regarding Israel, it's going to be hard to find a church that actually is open about it.
Yeah.
Right? They might even have the right doctrinal position. You question them one-on-one after the service. They'll tell you that believers are God's chosen people, the Jews are not. But, you know, sometimes that's just not enough. You need to hear like a really good sermon on it. You need to hear some ripping on it. And you need to hear some expository preaching. So I hope that a lot of people that are watching the conference are inspired to study the Bible more. Because then they're realizing like, whoa, the Bible does have a lot to say about this. There's so many passages that my pastor hasn't covered or this particular church has never covered. I've never seen that before. I've never seen it explained that way. And so I hope that motivates people to realize that like the New Testament, well, the Bible in general, but the New Testament has a lot to say about this. And in light of that, it would move them to start reading the Word of God, memorizing the Scriptures, and join a church that does the same.
You know, one group that I think is actually making a difference in this area, too, is a lot of Calvinist churches. I've seen a lot of Reformed churches be kind of right on this issue. And I feel like it sucked a lot of young people and people into these churches. But it seems like the Calvinist kind of goes into a political, practical solution. Whereas we are trying to more focus on the spiritual aspect and say like, hey, we want you to get plugged in so you can go soul winning and get people saved. And I feel like that's going to have a bigger impact on our country than trying to endorse the lesser of two evils in our politics right now. And so, you know, if you're going to a Calvinist church, even if they're right on these issues, you need to go to a King James only soul winning church where you're going to actually make a spiritual difference and have a bigger impact on the culture than, quote, voting in the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, like you said, with these Reformed churches, these Calvinist churches, they have the right position, and they'll even preach against it. But the solution to the problem, I feel like, will cause Christians to be more grieved over the state of our country, where it's just like, oh, it's the political answer. Look at everything that's going on in Iran. Look at everything with all the wars. And it kind of just is a grief of mind to the people. Whereas, like, if you approach this from a spiritual perspective, it actually leaves you with more hope. It leaves you with a purpose. It leaves you emphasizing the gospel and wanting to get people saved and making a spiritual impact rather than a political one that it's not going to really work.
Yeah, I mean, I feel people feel disenfranchised with the political system because even if you did have some good candidates, it seems like elections can be rigged and it seems like there's not a lot of good candidates and there's all these promises and they break their promises. And so, you know, when you get in a church like ours, you can go out there every week and get someone saved. And you can have a different kind of election. You can have one where you actually make a difference, where your vote counts, where you preach the gospel and someone gets saved right then and there. And that's a better election. And so, you know, I hope that people won't just necessarily realize, hey, Jews are bad. I'm smarter than everybody else. You know, take some practical application, get plugged into a good church, use that knowledge for good to realize, hey, if they're our true enemy and we're fighting a spiritual battle, we need to go out and get more people saved, get them plugged into a good church, to get them baptized, to get them to start reading the Bible and converting more people. Because our country needs more saved Christians than anything.
Yeah.
And I think that America, if you want to save America, if you want to fix our country, fix our areas, we need more people plugged into good churches, going soul winning, reading the Bible. And I don't mind using this doctrine or using this particular worldview to help people come awake to the dangers of, you know, Zionism and the dangers of false doctrine and these false prophets. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's just the stepping stone, mm-hmm. in my opinion. This isn't the conclusion. This isn't the final solution.
Right.
You know, we need to get people actually plugged in, going to church, reading the Bible. And so if you've never even darkened the door of a church, you need to get plugged in to a good church. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, there's no more good churches. But it's like, hey, in L.A., you got to go to First Works
Baptist
Church.
Orange County.
Well, if they're in L.A., they need to get into Orange County, too. They need to drive down there.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But, I mean, your church has been doing good. It's been growing. I mean, people say, like, oh, churches are dying, but your church is growing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's been growing. It's been getting filled with a lot of anti-Semitic. No, I'm just kidding. Just people who are looking for the truth.
Well, you like racists, even if they're racist, right?
I love you, you know?
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's important to have a conference like this, too, because, like I mentioned, I feel like the younger generation, the Zoomers, they are just kind of disillusioned with a lot of churches because they're so Zionist. Mm-hmm. They're disillusioned with the non-denom churches. They're sick and tired of the weak preaching, the strong stance on Israel, and all of these, you know, watered-down truths that are being promoted from the pulpit. And so it kind of causes them to have this knee-jerk reaction where they're going to the opposite extreme, which is Catholicism and Orthodoxy, because they think, like, all churches are bad. All Protestant churches have just lost their way. But having a conference like this is kind of a reminder to everyone, like, no, this is what Christians have always held to. Christians have always believed that both Jew and Gentile are the chosen people of God. We've always rejected the physical nation as being the chosen people of God in the New Testament. And so I feel like that's a breath of fresh air for a lot of people. And, you know, they've been combating this in their own churches, not really knowing what to say. And I feel like this conference is kind of giving them the artillery and the tools necessary to answer some of these questions and answer some of these accusations that are coming from the pulpit, these statements of blessing Israel. It's going to help them a lot more in that area.
You know, and I think obviously you get plugged into a good church, you go soul winning, you're reading your Bible. These are good steps. I think another one is just sharing this information. You know, finding Pastor Mejia's material, sharing it, uploading it, making cool mixes of it. You know, I feel like we don't have enough people sharing this information, and that's another thing people could do if they want to share the information. You know, obviously we don't copyright our information. We don't strike people's channels down because of cool copyright. Like, we love it when people make clips of our preaching or spice them up.
Whether good or bad.
Anything. Just getting the information out there. Mm-hmm. And so the more people can share this, make their own mixes, put it out there, we love it. You know, people always ask me permission, like, hey, can I share this or can I upload? It's like, yes. Upload and reshare and remix and splice it together. Like, we want the truth to get out there, and I think the more people that are putting it online, the more pressure it's going to be putting on other churches to come our way, to be more open, to be more vocal. It'll help influence our culture. It helps influence the politics, even if you care about that arena. And so, you know, the more that we can get the truth out there, you know, I think the more that it's going to be helpful. You've been doing a lot of stuff on social media. You know, what is your vision for the future on this? Do you feel like the sky's the limit right now? I mean, I feel like you're just blowing up.
Yeah, I feel like we just need to ride the wave. I think we're experiencing a time of revival when it comes to this particular doctrine. And I think we just need to utilize it and take advantage of it to get more people saved, get people back in church, zealous about the Word of God. I've had many messages of people telling me, like, once I found your content, it inspired me to go back to church. Like, I've been out of church for years, and I went back to church now, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm, you know, living out the Christian life now because of this. So, obviously, it's kind of like a niche subject, but it honestly, it's caused people to just get right with God in a lot of areas, because it's causing them to realize, like, the truth is still the truth, and it's in the Word of God, and I need to get back in church, I need to get back into the fight, I need to get involved in the things of God once again. So I believe we just need to take advantage of this particular era, this little season of success that we're experiencing with this doctrine. Yeah.
It's such a niche topic that you just let your Bible fall open, and it's probably on every single page. But, you know, and I think that's another thing that's a problem, because if you have a church that's very Zionist, there's so much of the Bible that you'll just never hear. So many passages, so many great excerpts, so many red letters that you're not going to hear, because the Bible's so clear on this particular issue. And it's just kind of a shame. You know, I was listening to a preacher talk about how, oh, the Iran-Israel conflict is, you know, Ishmael. And it's just like, when is this guy ever going to go to Galatians chapter 4 and actually allow the text to define itself? Because Galatians chapter number 4 is saying Ishmael is the Jews.
Right.
And, you know, that's another, I mean, honestly, we've heard so many good sermons, but there's even more that could be preached on this topic.
We barely scratched the surface.
You know, I think that would be another good sermon, is like the Ishmael of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, these people aren't the Israel God, they're the Ishmael.
Yeah, they're constantly
of
promoting
God.
Ishmael being the Muslims.
Right.
And that's Ishmael. Isaac are the Jews. But the Apostle Paul says, and we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, in Galatians chapter 4, right? And even in, what is it, Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that. And so, like, it's obviously pretty clear. By the way, Muslims didn't even exist during that particular time.
Yeah,
when
the book of Galatians didn't be written.
To say that Ishmael are the Muslims is crazy, because he talks about Jerusalem, which now is.
Yeah.
So he's obviously referring to the Jerusalem of his time, which was only filled with Jews. So.
Well, they always, like, it's funny, because these Zionists typically say, like, well, you got to understand the context of the time. You got to go back to that time when this was written. It's just like, okay, were Muslims even in existence in the first century? It's just like, this is kind of anachronistic here to try and apply this book of Galatians and Ishmael to Muslims. And they, you know, of course, obviously the Bible references old stories like Sodom, like you brought up this morning. And I really like how you use that to illustrate why Israel was gay. And of course, it's like Hollywood, you know, they're obviously, there's so many of the overlap when it comes to early life Jewish and then being a homosexual. And then you have obviously just the biggest LGBT parades. But you also see them being the biggest pushers of this agenda, the ones that were trying to get the laws passed and legislation and trying to promote it all over the world. And you gotta, like, it's almost like one and the same type of an agenda. It's coming from Israel specifically. And, you know, one of the verses that kind of stuck out to me while you were preaching this morning, it was, you know, I'm gonna forget the exact reference. I think it was in the book of Deuteronomy, but it was talking about how even the enemies were going to judge them. And I think what's important about that is like, even just Islamicists, Muslims, just all these different groups, they look at just the filth and the smut that these people are promoting, and they're just like, you're obviously not of God. Like, there's nothing righteous about your group, so why would we even want to participate? And I think that's the point. There's all these churches today that are promoting this nonsense. It's like, why does someone want to get into church when they already feel like, I'm not on this denigrated path that you guys are. I'm not bringing homos into my house or around my family and all this kind of nonsense. And it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, the cancel culture hit hard, but I feel like you've really pushed through. You've really survived. I mean, you were big on YouTube. I mean, you had, what, 130,000 subs?
I had like 112,000 before I got deleted.
Oh, man.
Got banned.
I mean, you were doing great on YouTube. Your shorts were really good. And so it's great to see that you've had another vehicle to be able to utilize? Because, I mean, your content is fire. Like, it's not just a random video. Like, it's really well edited. You have a lot of good graphics. You speak really well. And you're communicating important messages. And, it feels like you've really been riding this anti-Zionism wave. Do you feel like you're just going to keep just pedal the metal on that one? Or are you going to branch into some other topics? Like, what is...
Well, the thing is, like, you know, my preaching, my podcast covers a variety of different topics. And, you know, I have a lot of people who are like, oh, all you talk about is Israel. Yeah, on my Instagram. Because right now, that is the bait that gets people into the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what people are looking for right now. So once they get hooked onto that, we can hook them on to other truths of the Word of God. I definitely cover other topics on my Instagram, but I'm trying to squeeze this thing as much as possible. And obviously, like, I get kind of tired of it, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, it gets kind of like boring or whatever to me because I'm always talking about it. But you know what? A lot of people online are not bored of it. They're, to them, it's still brand new. To them, it's just like, oh man, like, I've never heard this before.
Right.
So I try to use that to get them into the podcast, to get them into my sermons, to get them into other content, to get them into church. And I think that's a great tool to kind of reel people in.
It makes me think of music, because sometimes music comes out and like only certain people...
Like a single or something?
Yeah, or somebody hears it and it's like 2 years and then eventually it gets on the radio. Mm. And but when it gets on the radio, like, everybody's listening to it. And I remember there would be songs that I'd heard for 2 years and then finally went to the radio and I was kind of sick of it by the time it got on the radio, but then like everybody else just loves it.
Yeah,
they can't
get
enough of it or something like that. It almost seems like we're in a radio stage of this anti-Zionism where it's still really fresh mm-hmm. for a lot of people. And what I like is that you're out there competing for these souls because, you know, a lot of people are looking right now and that issue is a lightning rod issue. And so they're not going to listen to someone that's not speaking correctly on this
right.
particular issue. And instead of just letting all the Catholics or the Calvinists or whatever gobble them up all up, I appreciate that you're out there trying to convert more people to Baptist, to fundamentalism,
yeah,
to the King James Bible, to salvation by faith. And you know, we need more people to ride that particular wave and adopt this. I think the churches that are still pro-Zionist, they're missing out on a huge group that they could be reaching right now.
Oh yeah, especially during this time, for sure.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know that we're going to necessarily have another anti-Israel conference. I don't want to say that we won't, but I think that this is a great stepping stone. I think that we need to continue doing, you know, documentaries, pushes, podcasts, videos, but ultimately preaching the gospel. Is there any events or something you want to plug before we end? I want to give you a chance here. I know you went to Belize recently. Do you have anything else on the horizon?
Nope, just church. Just come to church. You know, First Works Baptist Church in Anaheim Hills, California. 10:30 a.m., 5 p.m. Sunday night. And then 7 o'clock on Thursdays for the Bible study. Get plugged in. Come learn some more Bible. Come get a part of the work. And of course, if you're in Texas, come to Steadfast Baptist Church, Springcrest Baptist Church in Houston. And so I think people just need to get plugged into a church so you can learn more Bible. People are just like, how did you know all this? It's like, I got this in church. I got this from preaching, right? I got it from the Bible. And so if you want to grow in your knowledge of the Bible, you know, you got to get plugged in.
Amen. Yeah, and if you don't have a King James Bible, you need to get one, start reading it. If you want to find a good church, you know, we have a website, godresource.com, and you can go to the church listings. It's got all the new IFB churches on there, plus just other recommended churches. Some of them might be, you know, still Zionist if you find churches on there, but the new IFB won't. And so, you know, if you can find one of those in your local area, they're all over, not even just the ones represented for this particular conference. There's other like-minded men out there. There's 7,000 men that haven't kissed the knee, you know, haven't bowed the knee to Baal and haven't kissed Baal's lips.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we don't have churches going and bowing at the wall or kissing the wall or doing those kind of weird things. But, you know, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can subscribe to thebaptistbias.com/join. You can join our email list. We're going to try to put out podcasts at least once a month. And we're going to have other soul-winning events, other missions trips. We're having a missions trip to Barbados in September. We're also having a Heritage of the Lord Kids Conference in October near the Columbus Day weekend. So if you'd like to check that out. We're also going back to the Philippines in 2027. So, and we'll probably have FBBF, our FBBF conference next year. We've kind of been doing it every other year and we'll have a lot of these guest preachers again. You know, for those that weren't able to make it, you definitely missed out because this is an epic conference. But hey, you can always join. There's never a bad time to join. Get plugged into one of these churches.
Man.
And look, if you don't have it already, you need to get the Baptist Bias.